Back on Downtown, and we continue our salute to Penobscot Theater Company as they celebrate their 50th anniversary. As we welcome back to the program a wonderful friend of the show, a terrific actor, director with deep ties to Penobscot Theater Company, Ken Stack, with us. Hello again, Ken.
Hello, Rich. Thank you so much for bringing me in. Love to do this.
Well, it's great to talk with you as we look back at the history of Penobscot Theater Company, and I don't know that anyone knows that history better than you, because, you were there. Well, how close to the beginning were you there?
Well, I'm that old. Yeah, I'm incredibly old. That's why I remember. Yes, I was back here in the very first season of the what was then the Acadia Repertory Theater, the first season they had in Bangor. They had done a season the year before in 73, Summer Stock on Mount Desert Island. Then George Vafiatis, the founder, decided, let's start a year-round operation, and we'll move to Bangor in the winter. So long story short, we started on September 1st, 1974, moving into the old Memorial Hall on Main Street across from what was then the Bangor House Hotel. It was part of the, it was a memorial hall of the Brick Church in the Unitarians at that time. And in 12 days, we transformed it into a theater and opened on September 12th, 1974, with Arms and the Man. And that started it all. We've been doing it ever since.
Now, it's hard for us to believe because it's such a part of Bangor now, but there were people all those years ago that weren't convinced this was a good idea and that it would last.
Just not a few. Absolutely everyone said it was the most foolish thing. Bangor had never had a resident theater company in many, many years, not actually a real resident company at all. And so everyone said, Bangor's just not used to doing that. And we just stuck it out. There were some lean years. Oh, yeah, some very lean years. We remember rehearsing down in our rehearsal hall in parkas and tights because we're doing Shakespeare. But we made it through, and now the Penobscot Theater is a very strong, integral part of the Bangor community, and we're very, very proud of that.
And as you mentioned, too, deep ties to Acadia Repertory Theater, which celebrated its own 50th anniversary this past summer, and you've been such a big part of both of those theaters, and both with a similar mission to bring the arts to people and areas that maybe before these organizations came along didn't have this level of exposure to live theater.
Yes, and that was the excitement. Mount Desert Island had a long cultural history, but they hadn't had a resident theater since the 50s. So it was time. And the theater was originally founded to bring together a group of talented, we hope, artists to work together as an ensemble to create their work. And they would stick together show after show, and the audiences would watch them grow, move from different roles. One show you got a lead, the next show you're playing a walk-on. But you saw this group of actors grow over the years, and that was tremendously exciting. One of the things that I find really equally exciting is the way that Jonathan Berry, the current artistic director of Penobscot Theater, approaches things as well. He's very ensemble-oriented, and he likes to get people together to really work as a team to create a new piece of theater, which is what they're doing this week, actually.
Well, we're talking with Ken Stack here on Downtown. You knew him very well. He was a dear friend of yours for many, many years. For anybody who doesn't remember George Vafiatis, what do you remember best about him?
Well, George Vafiatis was a force to be reckoned with. I first met him many, many years ago, back when I was in college. He was one of my instructors. And then he found his way to Maine and decided to create a theater and brought me in then. But George just was a person with incredible vision. He's been likened to the Johnny Appleseed of theaters. Wherever he goes, he creates a theater. And that theater takes roots and continues to exist in the community. Then he moves on and does it elsewhere. He was a very talented, strong-willed visionary that would let nothing stop him in his goal to make live theater accessible for everyone. We lost George a little while back, and it is a great loss. He was definitely one of the major forces of regional theater.
One of the turning points in the theater's history came, as you know, Ken, in 1983, when you got 501c status. What did that do for the theater?
Well, that was a big one. And there's no big secret about it. The reason Acadia Rep founded the Penobscot Theater and got the 501c3, not the profit status, et cetera, was because the Unitarians needed to sell the Memorial Hall that had been our home, but they couldn't sell to a for-profit business, which is what Acadia Rep was at that time. So we sat down and said, we got to start a whole new entity. And we did. And George spearheaded it with many people assisting. But in about 6 months, a board of directors was formed. The funds were raised to purchase the building, repaint it, rebrand it, and open in the fall of 1983 as the Penobscot Theater Company. And it has continued to this day. It was really an amazing, amazing year.
And what was it like when you finally became the owners of the historic building, the original home there at 183 Main Street?
Well, it was an incredible thrill. And then, of course, with ownership, it comes incredible nightmares. Oh, my gosh, this beam needs to be replaced. Oh, my goodness. The plumbing needs a complete rework. The furnace finally died. Oh, no. And so you inherit all the woes of property ownership, but also it gives you that sense of identity. This is your space, and you can make it into what you need to do and help it become a part of the historical structures of downtown Bangor, which it was. So it was a really, really exciting time. And then later years, Mark Torres, when he was artistic director, negotiated for the Penobscot Theater to move into the Bangor Opera House, where it's located today, which is a wonderful performance space. And so the theater just continues to grow.
Ken, as you look back in those early days, do you recall any of the community members who did believe in the mission and who worked hard to ensure that you'd survive those early years?
Oh, there were many people that did it in many, many different ways. We had incredible board members, Stan Marshall, Sally Jurgelite, Rolf Olson. I feel badly that I can't remember everybody's name, but there were so many of them, and they worked tirelessly to help us keep that theater afloat. Stan Marshall would help George drive around to various businesses and say, hey, we need an X amount of money to be able to do this. Pony up, please. And they were all a big part of it. And then there were other incredible people, such as the late lawyer John Ballou, who not only was a big supporter of the theater, but a major force on stage. And so he was, you know, one of the great community actors in Bangor, and he lent his support. Chuck Cronin, the advertising fellow, was on our stage. We had many community members help flesh out the cast for the larger cast shows and be a part of the excitement of doing theater there on Main Street.
Well, you became the artistic director in 1983, and as I look back at the production history, I can't imagine it's a coincidence that that was the year the Penobscot Theater started presenting A Christmas Carol.
Actually, there was kind of, yeah, a little bit of my doing. There had been an earlier production of A Christmas Carol, I think back in 1981. So it really wasn't the first one. I have to be accurate. And I was not involved with it at that time. I was down in New York doing my dues in New York as an actor. But in 1983, we did do our first, what we thought was the Bangor version of A Christmas Carol, with a particular script that I'd done before. And then we did it for many years. And Mark Torres did the same thing when they moved down to the Opera House, followed by Scott Levy, and they just kept it going. And who knows, maybe Christmas Carol will return. I just don't know.
I also noticed a show that I know is a Ken Stack favorite in that first season, Love.
Love by Murray Schispel, spelled L-U-V. That was the very first show I did back in 1974 at Acadia Rep during their summer season with John Erickson. And we just kept reviving that show whenever we could until we were finally too old to do it. And I just couldn't do all the athletic back bends that were necessary for the show and falling off bridges, all that sort of thing. But it's an incredibly funny show that we just had a great time doing, and audiences laughed at people being silly. Maybe someday some theater will bring that show back. You never know.
Also, I see that in the 86-87 season, you did a production of Clarence Darrow, and you brought that role back this past summer at Acadia Rep.
Well, Clarence brought me back. It was a fitting thing to do now that both theaters are celebrating their 50th anniversary. Clarence Darrow was what they call a one-hander, a one-person show about the famous lawyer, Clarence Darrow, who was the defense attorney for the Scopes trial, the monkey trial, as well as the Leopold Loeb case and many, many coal miner fights and all kinds of things. Quite the social activist of his time. And it's a marvelous show. I did it first in 1977. Then we revived it again with Penobscot Theater in 1987. We thought, okay, it's time to do it for the 50th. I thought, my gosh, I'll never learn those lines again. But they came back pretty easily. And what I was thrilled with was how relevant the show is today. Audience members really took to it. And they were there rooting alongside Clarence Darrow. That was great fun and very, very rewarding.
So you have been involved in so many wonderful productions through the years. I know it's like picking a favorite child, but are there some moments that stand out in your many years at Penobscot Theater?
There's the small moments, and usually they're based with the audience. Not so, you know, there are certain productions that, oh, this was great, we did a marvelous job with this, or that really looked good, I love that particular set. But what's really thrilled me have been the main audiences, all of Maine, Central Maine, Down East, wherever we've been performing, because that's what it's all about. This past summer, when we were doing Clarence Darrow, just at the very end of the show, I heard from the back of the theater someone go, "Oh," just that one little voice, "Oh," and that made my century, you know. And then all the way back to our very first year in Bangor, we were doing A Doll's House, and it was lean times. The audiences were very small. We were doing a Wednesday afternoon matinee of A Doll's House, a three-hour play, and we had no audience. And so we were just about to say, okay, we're not going to do the show, when one of our patrons, who was living at the Bangor house at the time, had walked across the street, climbed up the 22 steps to the theater that it had at that time, and wanted to see A Doll's House, and there was one other drop-in. And the two of them sat for those 3 hours, and we did A Doll's House for them. And that was one of the most rewarding experiences I have ever had on stage. It was a very immediate thing. We're doing the show with you and for you. That's Bangor. And the Bangor audiences have been very near and dear to us.
Well, as you know, theaters around the country have been facing economic challenges. What has enabled Penobscot Theater to be such an important part of this community for 50 years, and how do we keep it successful and keep it strong for the next 50?
Rich, you just nailed it. It's the community. That is the word. The community is more than just the audience. It's the people on the board of directors, the people who volunteer to usher, the people who come to see the shows, and the general attitude of the town towards the theater, saying, this is an integral part of who we are. This helps define the culture and the image of what Bangor is. And Bangor has done a marvelous job supporting the theater, and we're pretty sure they're going to continue to do so for the future. But everyone needs to be aware of the fact that times are always tough. Yes, we're going through difficult times now, and we will go through difficult times in the future. But theater has been called many times the fabulous invalid. Everyone has called theater's death knell with the invention of radio, the invention of television, the invention of movies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Theater is live. It engages the audiences, and nothing will replace it. But the one thing it must have from both the theater and the community is passion. If there was anything that George Vafiat has taught us when he founded the theater, go for the passion, because that is what makes theater exciting, live, and incredibly entertaining.
Wow. Couldn't say it any better than that. Ken Stack, helping us celebrate the 50th anniversary of Penobscot Theater. Ken, thank you so much.
Rich, thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for all that you have done for supporting the theatrical arts over the year. Folks, Mr. Rich Kimball, wait for his next production.
That's perfect. Thank you, Ken.